I'm Jeff Hampton, and welcome to the Legacy Builders Podcast. I have helped hundreds of investors protect their assets and maximize cash flow in order to help them create a path to generational wealth. Too often, hardworking high performers find that the structure of their investments not only cause liability, but also create tax issues. And it is my job as a lawyer to ensure that it is never the case. Each week, I will provide the tools, the tips, and the strategies to create maximum wealth in real estate and other investments, as well as interview some of the most successful people that have created their own path to legacy wealth. And of course, you know, I like to share information with people. So I started talking to some other folks that are in short-term rental space. And they just had so many misunderstandings.
Well, why don't you actually share that story? Because yesterday you shared how you were actually at a highly sophisticated mastermind.
Yeah.
These are all really good. Like, so when I, just so everyone understands, like when I first started listening to you, I was thinking, all right, this has to be for like people that don't know what they're doing. But what you were sharing was people who were in this mastermind, they're paying a lot of money. They own a lot of properties, sure. Very bright guys. And they had asked you a question like, well, Jeff, how do you protect your properties? And when after you were sharing it, which we're going to go through actually how Jeff does protect his properties and how he recommends you do as well. What was their response when you started sharing that with them?
Yeah, they were floored. I mean, it happened very organically. We were just sitting there talking about ways to improve, grow wealth. I mean, that's what everybody wants to do. You're buying a short-term rental because you want to build wealth and you want to create cash flow. And so somebody spontaneously asked the question, maybe a group of 10 of us, high level. I mean, it's like 25 grand minimum to get into this type of arrangement. They look over and they say, but how do you guys protect yourself from lawsuits? How do you avoid getting sued? And immediately someone looked over at me and said, Jeff, you're a lawyer, right? Tell me how that works. What kind of lawyer were you? And I said, well, did personal injury law. And I actually sued short-term rental owners. And immediately they're like, okay, you got to tell us, what do we have to do? So all I did is literally share with them what I do. Yeah. Right. So I said, well, let me walk you through. Well, as soon as I started to do that, they said, I've never even heard of this. I mean, I've heard of ways to protect my assets and use LLCs, but I had no idea that some of the things that I've been taught traditionally, whether it be through my accountant, through the CPA that I've talked to, whether it be through information on Google or different YouTube channels that are out there, it's incomplete. And you know how people work. If they take some information, they piece it together and they think that that is how they do it. Yeah. And they've learned that that was not the case. And immediately, like 8 out of the 12 people who were there looked over at me and said, Jeff, you got to help us do this. Because I don't even know where to start. How do I find someone that knows all the laws in these different states? How do I know to navigate if I'm going to be a multi-state investor? And that kind of brought it to a head where I realized there's so much misinformation out there. There needs to be some clarity about the right way to do it.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about the misinformation. Yeah. I want to ask you about some of the why that misinformation actually is being passed on to really intelligent investors and people, or even if you're new, getting into it, wherever you might be on your journey. Do you mind sharing a question I asked you yesterday that I thought was really, before we go into the myths and why they get bad information and what some of the bad information is, when someone comes to you, because you weren't even planning on having a practice around short-term rentals and commercial properties for investors. It just kind of happened organically. So I just wanted to lay that out. And why when people come to you and they're like, hey, Jeff, this is what I want to have happen. Like you'd mentioned a couple things. Like number one, they want to stay, like, why is this even important in the first place? Yeah. So before we get into the myths, because, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, for most people, they obviously, the biggest concern is they don't want to be sued. And it's kind of like, what are the consequences if I don't get this right? Well, number one, it's one thing. If you have a short-term rental, let's talk about high risk and low risk assets. The reality of it is I kind of label things by exempt assets, low risk assets, and high risk assets. Now, exempt assets, you can talk about things like 401ks, sometimes your homestead. You don't have to worry as much about those because there's certain state and federal law protections. Low risk assets might be kind of like maybe a property management company or a standalone business where your entity structure is just having money flow through there, but it doesn't own any properties. But think about if you've got long-term rentals, short-term rentals, and even multifamily investments. Short-term rentals are the highest risk assets in the real estate space.
Yeah, right.
Because people are coming in and out. The average daily stay, or the average stay, is 7 days or less. So if you have a successful short-term rental, you're having thousands of people come stay in your place.
That's right.
They're also staying there as a vacation rental most often. So people are having their drinks, they're having a good time, they're doing some things maybe a little bit more casually than they would normally. And as a result of that, it bears out. Insurance industry says it's the highest risk real estate asset you can have. And on the litigation side, it's one of the highest risk assets you can have. So we're worried about what? We're worried about a lawsuit, but we're worried about, if there is a lawsuit, can that attorney get to my personal assets if they sue my short-term rental?
Right.
So if they can actually penetrate and get access to that short-term rental, what about all my other assets? Is there a chance they could get to me as well?
Yeah, which is super important. Is if you so a lot of high-income professionals are told, like, hey, if you run a business, go buy a commercial property.
Right.
As you're making money, you may have a vacation home that you turn into a rental property or a second home, right? And then you have your personal premises that you grow up in. And, you know, one of the myths that you'd mentioned, and I want to go over, I have a few more things to go over, but is that insurance is enough.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a really big one. First of all, and I'll talk about this in relation to short-term rentals for a second. Insurance is not enough. And here's a basic premise. Here's what I tell people. Look, do you really want to trust your net worth and the protection of your net worth to a third party who, quite frankly, has every incentive legally to deny your claim? And that's really, that happens all the time. I mean, think about it. Insurance companies make money by not paying out on claims. If they pay out on every claim that comes to them, and I know this because I used to sue insurance companies as part of my commercial property and short-term rental, the defendants that I would go after as a plaintiff's attorney. And insurance companies would find any ticky-tack reason to get out of that. So the problem is, I'm a big believer in what we call layered asset protection. Insurance is a layer.
Yeah.
Okay, but by itself, what if your claim is denied? And more importantly, what if the damage amount is above your claim or above your protection amount? So when we start talking about insurance, number one, do you need it? Absolutely. But you need the right kind of insurance.
Which
we're going to cover. And then secondly, most people are underinsured, if they are at all. Yeah. And then what if someone is paralyzed or someone dies at the property? It's going to go above the amount of whatever you're insured for. And now you're talking about everything that you might have in your personal name, your personal assets could be at risk.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. So you'd mentioned something yesterday that I hadn't heard before, but you said most investors, when they're doing short-term rentals, they want to appear poor on paper, or that's one of the strategies.
That's right. So, I mean, as you grow wealth, the problem is it leaves clues as to who owns what, right? So I'm going to tell you from a personal injury lawyer's perspective.
Well, this is why I'm so excited about this, because we have on this is like asking the prosecuting attorney who's put people in prison for years to now be the defense attorney.
Right.
You know, like
right.
It's like a MacGyver, not a MacGyver, whatever. My mom would be proud because we used to grow up watching, what's that old guy who was the attorney years ago? Gosh.
Oh, Perry Mason?
Yes. It's like a batch of Perry. I'm interviewing Perry Mason right now, but just for the short-term rental space.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of analogize it to say I'm the hacker who now works for the government to help you not get
hacked. That's a great
right?
way to do it.
But let's think of it this way. So first of all, if I'm bringing a lawsuit, let's say you own a property in Florida. Maybe you have a beach house.
Yeah, this is a great example.
Something bad happens at that property. Slip and fall. Maybe someone injured, maybe you didn't, for whatever reason, whether it's your fault or not. Because the reality of it is, if someone gets hurt, somebody's getting sued. And so if you're the property owner, you're the deep pocket. They're going after you. So let's say that happens. I'm going to go to the Florida Secretary of State, even if you have an LLC. Okay, let's say you've put your property in an LLC. If I can go to the Florida Secretary of State and I'm going to see your name listed as the member on that LLC.
Okay.
Now you say, so what? It's still an LLC. I have protection, right? Well, watch out. Here's what I would do. I would bring a lawsuit against your LLC and you personally because you are a member. Now, there's a concept known as piercing the veil. Now, here's what I would do. There are a number of items that if you did not follow the law in these areas, and most people do not do it, overwhelmingly, most people don't, then I could bring a lawsuit in front of the court. You're a party to it, just like your LLC is. And I'm going to argue that this is basically an alter ego of you, and you're not running this as a legitimate business. So I can pierce the veil of the protection of that LLC. Because at its core, what is an LLC? An LLC is a limited liability company that separates your ownership of the asset from the control of the asset. Yeah. That's what's key. But let's say you commingled funds.
And every almost 99.9% of people do, right?
Everybody does this.
Even if you're almost perfect.
100%. You could be standing in line at Costco, and I use this as an example because we've done it. I mean, everybody's done it. As you stand in line at Costco, you find something that looks great for your rental property. Maybe you or your wife, this is the only card I got on me. I'm going to pay for it. I'll reimburse me from the business account. That's commingling funds. Your commingled business and personal funds, that's one of the areas that I would go in now if I know who you are. If I know that you are the listed member, if you did, let's say you commingled funds, let's say you failed to file your annual meeting minutes or have an annual meeting. Let's say you failed to do your unanimous consent instruments, your state report filings. If you failed to do those things and I now know who you are, then I can potentially pierce the veil. And here's why the pierce the veil matters. I can hold you personally liable, including all of your assets, for the actions of that business. And now I've pulled apart that protection and I'm getting to whatever else you might have.
Which just so we're all clear on this, that means you can go after my personal property.
100%. Everything
else. You can go after my retirement.
Anything that's not covered under the bankruptcy code. Now here's the thing. Okay. There are certain things that are protected. When I talked about exempt assets, employer sponsored 401ks, totally exempt under the Employee Retirement Income Securities Act. Great. You have individual IRAs are protected up to about $1.5 million. They're adjusted for inflation. Okay. But what about everything else you've got? Brokerage accounts. Yeah. Some people, you know, own crypto, brokerage accounts. What if you've got other properties? Some people don't rent them out, but it doesn't matter. Whatever liquid cash, anything else that you might have, all of that is susceptible because I'll put a judgment on it. That judgment means you can't sell any of this stuff unless you pay me.
Yeah.
And then as a result of that, here's the real problem though. Think about this, Ed. The real problem is it cripples you from making future investments. Now you're absolutely paralyzed. Good luck trying to get a loan when you've got a judgment against you on everything else. Good luck being able to actually scale the rest of your portfolio. You've put yourself in limbo in that situation, and you've dramatically limited your ability to continue to grow wealth.